Hi, this is Julian for Shanghai Comedy Corner Podcast. Last month, I traveled to the US as part of Smack Shanghai's Chicago Tour Intensive, 10 days of improv shows to watch, perform, plus daily workshops and encounters with the best of the best in the improv mecca that is Chicago. I was very excited to interview some of the great minds of improv while I was there, and I am even more excited to offer it to you now for your listening pleasure. Kevin J. Garrity and Zach Barks. Kevin and Zach are two of the founding members of The Shithole, a safe place to grow as an artist where they demand respect for underrepresented voices and where any disrespect will not be tolerated. Kevin Garrity, Dan Wolcott, Zach Bartz, and Lauren Eaglin started The Shithole as a challenge to the traditional notion of what constitutes a performance space. Over the past 2 years, almost 300 Shithole shows have been held in attics and backyards, featuring everyone from multidisciplinary comedians to performance artists to mind readers. It has become a cult phenomenon and one of the most highly regarded of a number of avant-garde comedy productions around Chicago. For more information, visit www.shitholehq.com.
I'm with Kevin, and Kevin started the whole thing, the whole shithole thing. So tell me how it started.
So me and Zach were producing shows all over the city and doing a bunch of work, and it was a culmination of a lot of realization of like how things work in the comedy world and what we didn't like about shows and what we thought was unnecessary. And so it was us just piecing ideas and things together to figure out what was most comfortable for us to make shows and the shithole and everything that you have experienced. The listeners have not, but and for the listeners, message for details and we'll figure it out and you can come and see a show. But this is a culmination of everything that we've ever worked on and how we comfortably can do a show and perform and meet with audience members and just people as well as performers.
So what are the main features of a shithole event?
That's a good question. I'd say the main features are getting there, the show, and then afterwards and hanging out and meeting with everyone.
Cool. It's because people don't know where it happens usually.
Exactly.
And it's free. Yes. It's donations welcome.
Yes.
You should donate if you leave early.
Yes. And that's a tactical part on us to, one, guarantee that people see the whole show. We have a free show if you make it to the end of the show. And we preposition the money and monetization of it if you can't stay to support the whole show. So it's a donation-based show. And there's multiple there's plenty of ways, millions of ways that you can donate. Our first and foremost way is time. Donate your time and see the whole show, and then you don't have to pay any money. Like, you got to experience this. But if you have to leave and you can't see and support everyone else that's been here, drop a little bit of money because it allows everything to function a lot easier and smoother. And if something breaks, then we have the means to fix it. And then there's art and hanging out, signing up and emailing us to perform yourself, giving us your own physical art or adding something into the space. There's all sorts of beautiful ways to donate.
Well, thank you very much for running the coolest event ever.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. Thank
you so much. I wish you'd get to 300 or something, you know?
Soon, very soon. This was show 283, so we're on our way to 300 very soon.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm now with Zach. So Kevin told us about how it all started. Can you tell me what things you've learned, what things you've seen that really touched you since you started, 283 shows?
Yeah.
So what is something that you like to remember people about after doing all these shows?
The biggest thing that I've taken away from it is tech and etiquette. And really, it's less about how and what you do with the show and more about, do you have the tech? Like, do you have lights? Do you have curtains? Do you have the capabilities to let people feel that not necessarily, because a major theater, a high-tech theater, isn't going to necessarily have a good show. You need to have good tech, good execution of the tech. And also the etiquette, both in hosting and in audience member, like how do audience members maintain themselves, which goes to the intention of why are they in the room? Are they there just to get a fireball shot? Are they there because they think it's something they read in the paper? Or are they there because they truly want to be a part of the show? They want to make art, you know? And the same thing is, you know, do you let people get away with talking? Do you let performers get away with going over time? You know, these are etiquette rules that when you take them seriously can really make your show look and feel as professional as you want it to be. So those are the biggest things I took from it.
Thanks. And what sort of feedback did you get from people initially, and how has that evolved throughout the shows?
The feedback was always, people were said, the number one thing was, this is something special, or this is something magical, or I had no idea that these sorts of art forms could live simultaneously, where stand-up and music could go together, and where you really only did need to do a 4 or 5 minute improv set. You didn't need to do a 20-minute set. You didn't need to do an opening. You didn't need to have this huge form. You truly just had to be in the moment. And the feedback of, wow, it's great to see hosts who don't do any time in between their comedians, who treat the energy in the room as an arrow that continues to move and never dips, you know. That, so these sorts of structures, and also, oh, it's great to see people. I'll have comedians who talk, and then I will shush them or someone else shushes them, and afterwards they say, thank you for doing that. Thank you for shushing me. It's so nice to see people care so much. And, like, people will apologize. They will be like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to talk, we were just talking about getting the Uber, and oh, I'm so sorry. It's like that sort of, even an apology is, you know, a critique in the way of them saying, like, hey, we respect the way that you're doing this.
Cool. And when you started, were there any low moments when you thought, this is not going to work? Or did you feel like there was a need for that and people just showed up?
The thing is, no one ever asked us to do it. So every time we did it, it was, you know, which 283 times and, you know, under 3 years. So it was never a moment where we were like, oh, let's walk away. What is this? Because we're always trying to stay interested, and we're always trying to go back to the core, which is what constitutes as a show? What constitutes as a space? Is it more important to be in a major theater with a couple people, or to be in a small space with people who actually want to be there? You know, is it... It's more about connecting, affecting, and inspiring. And, like, these sort of things, as long as we stay true to them, these intangible things, the tangible results that we provide through our shows are just going to be our product of circumstance in trying to align and create what we're, you know, truly doing. So for us, a big quote has always been, seek not to follow in the footsteps of the wise, seek what they sought. We're always trying to just not follow a rubric or a journey or a path of someone else, but an organic discovery of adventure, and just like where we can just figure it out as we're doing it. So any moment that we felt like, oh, I don't know if this is right, we said, okay, how can we make it more interesting? How can we challenge it? How can we further it? If this, then what? So Shithole has always been about making good work with good people and just making better work with better people.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I love the concept. I love the whole event. From the moment I walked in, well, actually before I even knew it was here, because Kurt told me about it. Do you get much publicity? Do you get, like, coverage in media or something?
So for the first year, we actually really went against it. We wouldn't let people interview us. I was super into, like, Genghis Khan at the time. I was reading all these stories about Genghis Khan, these books about Genghis Khan, and it said that when they left Mongolia, he was like, all right, everybody, so we're not the best at reading and writing, so we haven't done a lot of writing and drawing of, like, what's been going on and what we're doing. But let's keep that up, because we're about to go to some literate nations, and when we show up, the rumors these people will develop, they will transcribe, they will draw, and they will only be exemplified. By the time that we show up, people are going to be so afraid of the concept that they create, you know, this anticipatory anxiety and fear, that we'll always be greater than what we could say. So I told Kevin, I said, dude, let's not tell anyone. Let's not write anything down. Let's let it just be this message for details. Like, we'll give you these posters, but, like, if you want to figure it out, dude, come by. I'm not saying it's secret, but you have to invest. You have to do something. So after about a year, you know, because we have people say, like, these guys, they're crazy. They've never done any formal training whatsoever, and they're just doing a show in a garage. And I'm like, excuse me? I have a bachelor's degree in this. Like, I teach this. Like, I've been doing this for 10 years. Like, I have formal, like, So we were like, all right, shit, we need to start like letting people know. Like, we need to start talking about this because the things that they're necessarily writing down may not be the correct things. So, you know, we've since got, you know, like the Chicago Reader, they wrote a feature on us. We were named the best underground art space of 2016. Narnar Shredtown was named one of the 8 breakout groups of 2015. Me and Kevin and Dan were cited from Columbia as notable alumni to impact the comedy community for Shithole and for Narnar Shredtown. So, you know, through those and just really the number one thing is word of mouth. You know, the same way that the show thrives by people just telling each other, our publicity lives in that same vein.
Thank you. Congratulations on your success, and I wish you, like, many more shows.
Thank you, man. We'll see you again soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Shanghai Comedy Corner Podcast would like to thank its partners, Smack Comedy, Shanghai's home for comedy, and Shanghai Comedy Club, www.theshanghaicomedyclub.com, and Stand Up Comedy SH on Facebook. Shanghai Comedy Corner Podcast is available on iTunes Podcast, on Lijia FM in China, and you can follow its official accounts on WeChat at SHCC Podcast, on Facebook at Shanghai Comedy Corner Podcast, and on Twitter at SH Comedy Corner. Time for you to give me a little tad of dumb baby, hold me tight, then do what I tell you.